And welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for April 1994. Tim Hendel had a very interesting comment there on his musings, and joining me is Jerry Starr with some comments. And I'd just like to say that I know that there is some posturing going on as far as stations trying to set themselves in a position where their signal best suits a certain population or area. And I will not discount the possibility that there are some stations which have changed their facilities to go into a bigger market. But I think the majority of the stuff that's going on is just because of changing population figures and changing demographics within certain areas. Jerry, what do you think about this?
Well, the commission doesn't really have the city of license. You know, the studio must be in the city of license. That's been gone for 10 years. I think in the case of like Cherry Valley, I imagine that probably they are able to move their transmitter site to where they can license it to a bigger city. And of course, that's what they want to do. So,
you think it's a case of this is just some posturing going on within the broadcast community, or do you think that there is some outright changes being made to, say, move out of a small market into a larger market?
Oh, that happens occasionally. I can think of maybe 4 or 5 times that's happened in the last 10 years, but not as a matter of course.
But how do we know? I mean,
each one is on an individual basis. I have not seen any of the engineering. Perhaps they have to change a city of license to get a piece of transmitter land that's available. Each one is an individual basis, so I couldn't really tell you. But that's the first time that I can remember a station moving from a city of license from a suburb to the main city. Before it goes on the air in quite some time. It may not even involve a change of transmitter site at all. They may have looked at, with the new computer engineering that's available now, they may have looked at their coverage contour and found out that they covered enough of the bigger city to change the city of license.
From what you've seen of some of the stuff floating by the AM switch desk, has there actually been a decline in the number of, say, small market stations and an increase in large markets? Has there been some shuffling around of facilities?
There's just been a real decline in applications for new stations. There have been, in the last 5 years, there have been maybe a dozen new stations applied for. People aren't just applying for new AM stations anymore. And a lot of the ones that have construction permits to build them, they just let them run out and haven't been building them. So,
what about modifications then?
Pardon?
What about modifications? Say these stations that are changing facilities to maybe accommodate a shift in population?
Well, again, that'd be second-guessing the information that we have, you know. When you see somebody applying to move a transmitter site, you have no idea why.
Okay.
Either they lost their site, or they're improving their signal someplace to follow the population around, or perhaps they're... A lot of the sites that are moved because they're adding an FM to them.
Oh, good point. Okay.
An awful lot of the site moves and the antenna changes, and also the power reductions on AM are because they're either moving to a taller tower or moving their tower to a different location because they're going to put an FM on top of it.
Okay.
That's what most of the changes are. The AM is moved in deference to increasing the potential of the FM.
Thanks, Jerry, for the comments. And Tim, I hope that answers your question on the musings. And let's go over to line number 2 now.
Good morning, Fred, and fellow audio service subscribers. Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts. On Tuesday, March 8th, 1994, with a little bit of a hint on operations for the GE Super Radio 3 for any of you Super Radio 3 users. In any of the event, if your antenna comes loose at any time, there is a screw on the back of the case, just below where the antenna comes up. If you can tighten it up with a Phillips head screwdriver, if you ever find that your antenna is loose, tighten that screw up on the back of the case, and you'll have no problems. I just discovered it last night. Hope that will be helpful. Thank you much.
Greetings, Fred. This is Bob Whitman in Chicago, and I have 2 comments. First of all, KCRG, 1600 AM in Iowa City, in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, carries a 90-minute simulcast of Channel 9 news between 5 and 6:30 p.m. which includes ABC World News Tonight, which that 90-minute simulcast is the longest one I've ever heard of as far as broadcasting TV news is concerned. And secondly, I've just purchased the new Sony AM stereo Walkman, and I really like it, and I recommend it to everybody. It really picks up quite well. I get stereo programming from all over the country, and it's only about $30, and I think anyone who likes stereo will like it. The FM isn't very good, but it really is good for AM stereo.
This is Jack Couch calling from French Lick, and it's approximately 10:53 on a Friday night, March the 12th. I have a comment about the FCC. When I had a complaint a couple of years ago, they made a comment that they didn't fool with small market enterprise, meaning my small town. We have a problem here on the CB bands. A lot of these high school kids and different people are getting on different channels and using a lot of profanity. So I was wondering if this was happening in other places. I should think that the FCC, as strict as they are on AM stations and restricting licenses and everything like that, they ought to look into this kind of problem instead of, and come down into what they call small market enterprise and look into this. So I would hope at the next DX convention, if you might bring this up to the FCC representatives, see how they feel about this statement. This was a lady that I talked to in Chicago, Illinois, who said, we don't fool with small market enterprise. So I'd appreciate, if you don't have the answers now, then wait till after the convention. And if you get time on a DX audio tape and put the FCC's comments on, I'd like to hear what they have to say, what the head people have to say about this. So thank you very much. And good DX to all of you.
Thank you very much for your call, Jack. And it's kind of a double-edged sword what you're talking about, because on one side, some of you who frequent the broadcast echo on Fidonet know that I have trashed the FCC unmercifully for what I consider looking the other way and not wanting to become involved in some activities on the broadcast band. Case in point is a station, an AM station, which is just to the west of us here, that will go to high power whenever they're running a ball game or something special at night, and as soon as the ball game is over, then they drop it right back down to low power. Or an FM station just to the north of us here that runs 160% modulation at times, just so they can sound a little bit stronger than the other stations. Now, when I asked Jim Bridgewater from the Federal Communications Commission about this, basically his reply was that the FCC is understaffed. They don't have the money to be able to go out and do just routine inspections in the field of broadcast facilities. He also made mention that the FCC is responsible for a lot of other services which are not necessarily broadcast related, and because of that, they've got more than enough work to do. So, the question is, where do you draw the line? If it was a neighborhood and you had a drug problem down the street, does the cop look the other way, or does the cop go in and bust the guys? You know, it's one of those, and I don't know how to answer it. But maybe what we should do is get some answers, or I should say, get some questions from you, the DX Audio Service membership, and sit down and talk with an FCC guy and just ask them point blank what they have to say. And if you have something on your mind, something to say, give us a call today on the Action Line. The telephone number for DX Audio Service members only is area code 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day. Now, here he is, Phil Wayne.
Hi, DXers and radio freaks. Phil Wayne here for Market Scope, the special April edition where just about anything goes. This month, we're going through the enormous mountain of air-check cassettes, which are slowly consuming my living space here in Ohio's Flag City. You'll hear nostalgic air-check bits of radio stations which are no more, a few comedy bits, a bit of bad taste just to keep Fred happy. And if the NRC censors don't have a fit, I'll include something from the I can't believe they said that on the radio department. So now, let's get into some miscellaneous radio tidbits.
Hi, I'm Bill Murphy. I work in the sales department here at the radio station. For a while now, my wife and even some of my coworkers have kindly mentioned to me that it may be time for me to lose a little weight. I gotta tell you, I've tried everything, but until I got on this Nutrition Systems diet, I had no results. There were starvation diets and... Hey, Gary, I'm cutting a spot here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bill. I just got to get my folder out of here. Let me just squeeze by in here and just...
I'll be out of here in
What?
I'm just trying to get around...
I'm sorry, I can't move. I can't.
It's not your ass? Is that... Please tell me that's not your ass.
It's my ass.
Sorry if I was in the way, okay? Okay?
Yeah, I had to have my own zip code, huh, buddy?
Yeah, okay.
Well, anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, I'm really seeing results, and for the next few weeks, I'm going to let you know my progress on the Nutrition Systems diet plan.
Bruce Springsteen's got a new album. Sure, he was born in the USA, but his record company's in Japan. For Bruce's new double album, Buyin' the USA.
Buyin' the USA. We're buyin' the USA now. Buyin' the USA.
It's Springsteen's double album.
Ooh, I've been fired.
Bruce Springsteen on Lazy Illiterate Records and Tapes.
That's the music for the the most music, WRTC.
Looking for you on the hotline of hits at 578-0092. It's WRQC and Paul Young asking you to come back and stay. 7 o'clock with Dave Sharp playing at least 12 hits in a row.
92 WRQC, Cleveland Heights, Ohio.
We want to prove we play the most hit music. Here come another 40 minutes of back-to-back hits of Cleveland's G98.
WTCL.
Power hits. WPXY. FM and AM. Rochester.
Midnight, and this is Chuck Martin on Most Music, Z93.
WAPP New York, playing the best music from the capital of the world.
CBS FM 101 with the greatest hits of all time. Boy, that is one. That's an easy song, dude. Once you get the hook, you just never let it go. Just keep doing it over and over again. That's the hook. Celebrate, celebrate. Three Doggy Night with Max here. All Night Radio to Big Town. Good to have you along for another edition. And here come the second of seven great songs in a row once again. Kenny Loggins. 101 FM. This is it, yeah, in stereo.
In my life,
come on, whisper it down, baby.
I've been wondering why?
CBS FM, this is it, all right. Kenny Loggins. Stevie Nicks said, "You give me Kenny Loggins session with Kenny Loggins in the studio." She says, "And I want to be there to sing with that man. He is good. I like his stuff. I like this lady's stuff too." From 1960, the golden year, Miss Brenda Lee sings.
More and more people every day are switching to KBEST 95.
I switched because of the variety of music.
I switched because I got tired of the same old thing.
You guys have a really good variety.
The reason why I switched was that I moved down here from San Jose and I got into your music because I realized I really liked it when I was a kid.
The switch is on to San Diego's best.
K-Best 95.
The switch is on to San Diego's best. The switch is on to K-Best 95.
KPCT San Diego.
For Shotgun Tom, Dude Fox, Saturday Night Baby, and I am Shotgun Tom Kelly. We are here. Go finger pop, rock and roll all night long. And of course, most of all, and most importantly, we're going to put you, that's right, baby, on the airwaves to talk to somebody you love tonight. Make a request. Also, you know what else we're going to do, baby? Because they deliver, we are going to put a Domino's pizza in your lips, in your face, and definitely make you feel good. But most of all, get your request on the airwaves, get you talking to your baby on the airwaves, and get your favorite tunes on the airwaves. And of course, we're going to try to have a lot of fun, and that is spelled with, you got it, a capital F. All right, since we're underway and since we're on our way, we might as well get into one of my favorite songs, a song that talks about me and you and everybody else. Okay, Bob. My engineer, Thomas the Blonde, and a lot of other people, baby. But most of all, again, Y-O-U. Here we go with Shotgun, Junior, Walker, and the All-Stars. On the Shotgun Tom Jukebox Saturday Night Show, how are you? We're going to tighten up on the organ here with Archie Bell and the Drells. Tighten up.
In the beginning, the earth was null and void. There was no sound. Then there was KRLA.
Greatest rock and roll hits of all time. 1110 KRLA. With Emperor Bob Hudson, Mike Wagner, Johnny Hayes, the real Don Steele, Art LeBeau, and Wolfman Jack, the 1110 men. From the 50,000 watt rock, rolling LA, 24 hours a day.
Much more. 1470 WOHO, Toledo.
Come back when you grow up, girl.
And now, more of your favorites on a Million Dollar Weekend. 1470 WOHO. On a Million Dollar Weekend. We've got your favorite songs back to back. 65, here's Diana Ross and the Supremes. Stop in the Name of Love.
Hi, you're on the air.
Well, hello, guys. How you doing?
Hi, how are you doing?
All right, who is it? Well, pretty good. This is Fred calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Hey, I'm Mozart.
Red.
Red, good to see you. I haven't talked to you in a long
time. Red, we can't play the record.
No.
Am I supposed to say I'm a first-time caller or what?
No, we're supposed to say turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down.
That'll be the last time. Yeah. Red, I want you to
say. We do pretty good. Yeah, first off, I hope somebody did air check. Because I'm trying to do air check if you're in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we've got to talk to Al Resnick about some of the signal that Al is pushing to Motown.
Okay.
All right, Fred. I just wanted to say it's kind of a coincidence you guys are having this because I collect air checks as a hobby.
Yeah.
And just received a Mort Crowley WKNR air check.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, Sam Holden. Sam Holden was there for a brief time, too, at WKNR.
Yeah, some of the good old days, you know, you guys were talking a while ago about the radio stations, how they've progressed and how they've...
gone through,
you know, this little evolution of now AM is either religious or talk or something like that. You have to look back at, really, radio and what you guys were doing back there in the 60s and just wonder why a lot more broadcasters are not doing that now.
Well, good question.
They are.
Yeah,
look, they'll try anything today to get an audience.
Yeah, but don't you guys feel, though, that if somebody was to come along, let's say, for example, say WCFL was to go back to the old 60s format, that they would not take a good share of the Chicago audience.
No, they certainly would not. No.
I don't think so. I don't know. We'll argue that point among ourselves later in a bar.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Fred in Detroit,
then go and try and find Ohio Street.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fred in Jacksonville, guys.
Fred in Jacksonville. Hey, thank you for calling. Let's grab one more quickie here and see what's going on.
But I want to hear more.
We'll hear the rest of it.
I think it's incredible that he knows our engineer's name, a listener in the street of Detroit. I don't even know the engineer's name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Al Resnick.
Al Resnick.
Okay. Well, I think I've got somebody on the air.
Go ahead.
Hello.
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 Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
94.7 WLS FM.
I'm Jeff Dunn, WRRB News.
WRRB.
Syracuse, it's 3 o'clock. It's your country music leader. FM 108, WRRB, Juice Newton, and What Can I Do With My Heart? 5 minutes after 3 o'clock, Jeff Walker with you on a Friday afternoon, sitting in for J.J. Jenner, who's a little bit under the weather. For the latest in downhill and cross-country ski conditions, call the WRRB Ski Line at 457-6105. That is brought to you by Labrador, your family skiing location. Just follow the signs off of Route 81 at the Tully exit. Ski information 24 hours a day at 457-6105.
Due to technical difficulties beyond our immediate control, the new transmitter and format change has been delayed temporarily. However, we want to announce that the CFXX Advertising Community winner of the $1,000 Radio Day Prize is the holder of number 357. The lucky number again is 357. Please call 353-6200 within 94 minutes to claim your prize. The phone number again is 353-6200.
All right, here live in El Paso now, my brother Fred Imus. Good morning, Fred.
Take the suit back to Kmart. That's where he got this. He got it.
Did you see me on Letterman?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Do you think I'm too thin?
You were on so late. I thought you were on Pat O'Brien's show.
If your radio sounds funny in the morning, you're listening to Imus in the Morning.
You didn't hear about the controversy about the check skater, did you?
No, Fred, I didn't.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, they found out it was actually Lorena Bobbitt.
Oh, really?
The skate for the Czech team.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't know because they made her change her name.
Right.
To Lorena, cut your cock off.
I'm missing the morning.
8:44, 60 minutes away from 9 o'clock on 3WE. Time for traffic and weather together.
That puts the wraps on another Market Scope. Hope you enjoyed it. Now here's someone I know you'll enjoy. John Bowker.
Historical Moments in Radio, a collection of stories from the rich and exciting past on the AM radio dial. And hello again, I'm John Bowker, and this month I want to take you behind the scenes of the opening of the Columbia Broadcasting System. I think you'll be amused by the imposition of Murphy's Laws, all of them. You know, the ones that warn about anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Well, Let's start in the NBC New York City offices a week and a day after NBC announced that it was forming a nationwide chain of radio stations. The announcement within the industry was not a surprise. In fact, Mr. Arthur Judson was in the NBC chairman's office on this key day I mentioned, advising that Mr. Judson had signed up a load of well-known people, many of them actors and actresses, who would be available as talent for radio broadcasts on the new network. He was their agent, and NBC would need them. Well, said NBC, probably not. We have our own people, you know, for the opening broadcasts, but thank you very much. Well, now, this didn't sit very well with Mr. Judson. He had signed up all these actors by paying them some money as a retainer, and now he stood to lose it all. In a huff, he boldly announced that day to NBC he was going to start his own rival network of stations. NBC, of course, had signed up most of the best stations across the country, and two in each city in some cases, one for each of the red and the blue networks. So NBC wasn't particularly worried, even if this irate Mr. Judson actually went ahead with his threat. Well, turns out Mr. Judson wasn't bluffing. He left the NBC offices and stopped immediately to his old friend Arthur Coates, an ebullient salesman who looked over the remaining independent stations in the East and the Midwest and surmised that a good first stop would be in Philadelphia at station WCAU. Mr. Leon Levy, owner of WCAU, agreed to participate in a new United Independent Broadcasters, Inc., a UIB chain of stations, and further that WCAU would gladly originate programs for UIB stations. And further, he would pay those other stations $500 a week to carry up to 10 hours of program time. And that was a lot of money for an independent radio station in 1927. But Mr. Levy felt confident that he could sell many times that amount in advertising. He had a friend in the cigar business locally who had spoken of how well radio advertising was doing on WCAU. And Mr. Levy was absolutely sure that the cigar company would be happy to extend the advertising more widely to other stations and along with his other sponsors. And he was right. But our salesman friend, Mr. Coates, meantime, was doing too good a job of signing up stations right and left, and within a short time had committed many thousands of dollars per week in payments to the UIB stations. Many more thousands than Mr. Levy could raise through advertising over with his existing sponsors on WCAU. Well, it became a crisis. It seemed that every time UIB signed up a new sponsor, some new costs they hadn't planned on swallowed up some of their new income. And finally, perhaps only a few days before declaring bankruptcy, one of the directors of UIB approached the Columbia Phonograph Company and offered to sell UIB to them for $163,000. It was agreed, and the Columbia Phonograph Broadcasting Company was born on the spot. Even our old friend Mr. Judson, who had warned NBC he'd start a new network, was happy because he was able to sell $10,000 a week of air talent for the new Columbia programs. The broadcast debut of the new network would be a gala event with a Metropolitan Opera Company playing a new Deems Taylor work and poet Edna St. Vincent Millay with a special reading, and the moment arrived. September 18, 1927, the Columbia flagship station in New York, WOR, threw all the right switches, and the new national network blared forth. Well, it blared forth east of the Allegheny Mountains. It seems an overnight storm had knocked down all the telephone lines used for relaying the programs to Columbia stations west of central Pennsylvania. But people in New York and Philadelphia and Boston received clear sounds that night from the new chain. And in fact, after a short time that night, the telephone crews had hitched up alternate routes for the programs to stations in the Midwest. And while the sound was awful out there, the Columbia Phonograph Broadcasting Network was launched. Well, they went broke within a month. Several companies tried to bail them out, but they needed a new president with lots of money. And on September 26, 1928, he took over. His name? William S. Paley. Enough said. For Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowker.
Remember our contest, Where in the World is Fred Phoebe? Or actually, where in the United States? You might have wondered where in the heck the contest was last month. Anyway, let's get on with this. We had a lot of entries into the contest, 47 to be exact. A lot of people were saying Bismarck, North Dakota. Remember that clue about the duck? Well, the correct answer was Drake, North Dakota, D-R-A-K-E, located along Route 52, just to the east of Minot, North Dakota. We had several correct entries. We drew two out of the hat, and they are Pamela and George Dominguez from Inwood, New York, and Dale Ham from Austin, Texas. To Pamela and George, we're going to give you a National Radio Club coffee mug and a one free month subscription to your DX Audio Service. And to Dale Ham as runner-up, we'll give him a free month subscription to the DX Audio Service. Congratulations. We'll have another contest coming up real soon. Well, let's swing it over to the Arapaho County Assessor's Office and Mr. Wayne Heinen, a gentleman who definitely knows his debits from his assets. Wayne, speak to us about CPC this month.
Hi, DXAS members. This is Wayne Heinen. I've got the upcoming DX test for late March and the month of April. Jeff is off flying today. We'll start with Sunday, March 27th, WNRK, Box 8152, Newark, Delaware, 19714. We'll conduct the test between 12 and 2:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The test will include march music, test tones, Morse code IDs, and a portion of the test will be conducted at the station's 1.8-watt night power. Phone calls will be accepted during the test at 302-737-5200. No collect calls, please. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Dave Schmidt of the NRC. This test was arranged by Dave for the National Radio Club CPC. Also, on Monday, March 28th, we have a test by KCVR 1570, 7808 Kelly Drive, Stockton, California, 95207. This test will consist of tones, music, voice, and code IDs, and will run between 3 and 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Your reports can be sent to Mr. Damien Thorne. First name is D-A-M-I-E-N. He's the assistant engineer. This test arranged by the IRCA CPC. Also on Monday, March 28th, we have KOAC 550, 239 Covell Hall, Corvallis, Oregon, 97331. The test will be between 3:30 and 4 a.m. and will include tones, Morse code IDs, and march music. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Roger Dominguez, Chief Engineer. The name is spelled D-O-M-I-N-G-U-E-S. Then we move to April 2nd. We have a test from WMAM 820. Their address is 29 West Main Street, Jasper, Tennessee, 37347. They'll be testing with 1,000 watts between 12:30 and 2:30 a.m. using classical music, tones, and code IDs. Reports go to Mr. Phil Patton. That test was arranged by the National Radio Club CPC. Moving on, Monday, April 4th, we have a test from KCCR 1240, 106 West Capitol, Pierre, South Dakota, 57501. The test will run between 1 and 1:30 Eastern Time and will include big band music and Morse code IDs. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Dan, in parentheses, the initials DT, last name Mayer, M-E-Y-E-R. He's the music director there. That test was arranged by the IRCA CPC. Also on Monday, April 4th, we have WWOL 780, 1263 West Main Street, Forest City, North Carolina, 28043. They'll be testing between 3 and 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and the test will include Morse code IDs and unspecified music. Reports may be sent to Mr. Julius Blanton. First name is spelled J-U-L-I-U-S, second B-L-A-N-T-O-N, the chief engineer. That test was arranged by the IRCA. On April 5th, we have WDEV 550, P.O. Box 550, Waterbury, Connecticut, Waterbury, Vermont, 05676. They'll be testing with 5,000 watts using electronic traveling music, tones, and code IDs. Reports can be sent to Mr. Peter Dean, Chief Operator. That test arranged by the National Radio Club. Moving on, we move to April 8th, we have a test by WLBL 930, 6302 Mill Creek Drive in Auburndale, Wisconsin, 54412. This test will be with 5,000 watts between 0230 and 0330 Eastern Time. Reports for that test go to Mr. Vern Alpine, Director of Radio. That test arranged by the NRC-CPC. Moving on, Monday, April 11th, we have two tests. The first, WQPM 1300, P.O. Box 106, Princeton, Minnesota, 55371, will conduct a test between 1:30 and 2 a.m. The test will include Morse code IDs, test tones, and some songs. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Chris London, and he will also accept fax reports at area code 612-389-1359. After the machine picks up, dial *2 if you wish to fax a report. That test was arranged by the IRCA-CPC. Then we have April 11th, KVOW 1450, 603 East Pershing Street, Riverton, Wyoming, 82501. We'll conduct a test between 2:10 and 2:20 a.m. The test will include tones and Morse code IDs. This test is a regular scheduled frequency check, which runs on the second Monday. Reports may be sent to Mr. Lonnie Fairfield, Chief Engineer. This test was arranged by the IRCA. Last but not least, April 24th, we have a test from WWMO, 830 Eden, North Carolina. Their mailing address is P.O. Box 81, Cascade, Virginia, 24069. The test will be from 12 to 12:30 Eastern Time, and they will run 50,000 watts with code IDs. Reports go to Mr. V, period C, Stone. And that's it for this time. Jeff, we'll probably see you next time. 73.
There's a great jingle from the past, WTOL 1230 in Toledo. I guess I better get busy and dub that master over for John Bowker. He's getting close to 1230. Did I say 1250? Yeah, 1230. 1230 is the frequency on that one. My gosh, how time flies. I'd like to let you know a little bit about After Dark number 4. After Dark number 4 is a four-cassette issue on C90 cassettes in an attractive binder, all for $9.50 from the National Radio Club's Publication Center. Now, what do we have on this series of tapes? A lot of interesting things. We start out tape number one with a piece done by Mindy Dreyer on WWV and WWVH, as I like to call them, the all-time stations, or all-timers, or something like that. And it's originally written for Monitoring Times magazine back in 1992 by Wayne Heinen, who is one of the board of directors at the National Radio Club. Very interesting piece, a visit to WWV and WWVH, or actually just WWV in Boulder, Colorado. And also on the series of tapes, you'll find a band scan of how radio sounds here in Lima, Ohio. Many people have wondered, is this the sleepy little metropolis that you might think it is, or is it actually the rock and roll heaven? Well, you'll get to hear what kind of stations are in my area, and believe me, they're very wide and diverse around here. And we also have a lot of different pieces sent in by you, the membership of the DX Audio Service, different articles of interest. Then we also have a neat interview we did with Wolfman Jack. And Wolfman and myself sit down, and we talk for about, it's got to be at least a half hour or so, about his history and about radio, and interesting to listen to. And then on the last tape of the series, on side two, a very, very interesting conversation that I had with Leonard Kahn from Kahn Communications, and gentleman's very, very fascinating to listen to. And we talk a little bit about AM stereo, but mostly about his system called PowerSide, which you may have heard on a past edition of the DX Audio Service mentioned by Jim Snowbarger, that KSL in Salt Lake City and WJJD in Chicago, Illinois, are using to kind of defer the interference. You know, one of the most interesting things that Leonard said, and it was one of those things where when you hear it spoken, all of a sudden a little light turns on, and you say, gosh, that makes sense. Leonard was mentioning the fact we've all been brought up
to hear that, like, whoa, you know, on a station, when you get two stations in there at the same time. And we always said carrier beat. And have you ever stopped to think about it? That if a station, if two stations are on the same frequency and they're about 3 kilohertz, or I should say 3 hertz apart, you call it carrier beat, but it's really not. Because you can't hear 3 hertz through your radio. It's impossible. The radio won't pass it. The speaker won't pass it. Your hearing won't hear it. So what are you listening to? Well, Leonard explains it. Now, like I said, it was one of those things when he started explaining that, all of a sudden this little light bulb went on. I said, geez, there goes 30 years of engineering right down the drain. So listen to After Dark number 4. It's a big piece of information that you don't want to miss. It's available from the Publication Center. All you got to do is drop a Crazy Ken a card and a check and tell them you want After Dark number 4. It's $9.50 postpaid from the National Radio Club's Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York 13661, USA. Hey, there's the other call up there in Toledo, WCWA. And let's check out our D-Exchange column. If you've got something to buy, sell, or trade, send it to us on the D-Exchange. Just address it to D-Exchange. That's D as in Delta, X as in X-ray, change, C-H-A-N-G-E. What Bill Clinton wants or what Ken Chatterton has a lack of in his pocket. D-Exchange, a little humor, and let's jump right into it because I'm going to get stoned here in a second. First of all, Bruce Winkleman from 3014 West 68th Place in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74132-1762 is offering an R390A, originally purchased from Dick Truax in 1984. He has technical manuals and a complete set of hollow state newsletters for $300 and 63 tubes for the R390 at $100 or the R390 plus the tubes at $375. He also has two San Sereno amplified ferrite loop antennas, a rod antennas, I should say, one tiltable at $75 and one non-tiltable at $60, or both for $120. All items postpaid. Contact Bruce Winkleman. We also have a mug for mug collectors. You may be interested in the Radiocom 94 coffee mugs, available for $4 each postpaid from the Southern California Area DXers at 6398 Pheasant Drive in Buena Park, California, 90620. The mug is part of SCADS, that's the Southern California Area DXers, promotion of their upcoming convention to be held August the 10th through the 14th in Costa Mesa, California. Don't forget that individual copies of Anarch's newsletter update are available for $1 and a self-addressed stamped envelope to Bill Courage. And the spelling of last name is K-U-R-R-A-S-C-H. He's the Anarch publisher. That's the Association of North American Radio Clubs, A-N-A-R-C, at 5607 Lincoln Road in Ontario, New York, 14519. Subscriptions are not available to the newsletter, so you have to send a self-addressed stamped envelope and $1. And, of course, the National Radio Club and the DX Audio Service are a part of the Association of North American Radio Clubs. Finally, we have a request for a pen pal coming to us from Miss Nila, N-I-L-A, Nanu, I believe it is, N-A-N-N-U, from the South Asian DX Association, Post Office Box, AMLA-7032 in Kutishia, I believe it is, KUSHTIA, Bangladesh, who is the 18-year-old General Secretary of SADX. And she's interested in corresponding with pen pals who are interested in foreign DX, music, traveling, and tennis. And that's our DXchange. John Bauer.
Walker is just sitting there saying, gee, that sounds like the same jingle package that WIBC in Indy had. Yeah, John, you're right. You got a good ear for that. In our waning moments, I'd just like to acknowledge some new members and renewing members, Tom Bilton, Ed McDonald, Mark Marino, Mike Corcoran, Ernie Holt, John Federico, Howard Wolcott, Albert Gordon, Jim Snowbarger, Malcolm Kaufman, Marcy Scott, Mr. and Mrs. Mark Martin, Patrick Cassidy, Doug Emerson, Larry Mann, and Tom Smith. And if we missed you, we're going to have to get you on the next edition of the DX Audio Service, because that's all the time we have. We'll see you on the next edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service after I get back from Vegas rolling 7-11. Ha! Just kidding. I don't gamble. John, here's one more jingle. We'll see you later. 73s. By the way, anyone know where this station's located?
640 WUVT.